Everybody, welcome back to the International Franchise Association's Women's Franchise Committee podcast, Her Stories, the Stories of Female Franchise Leaders. I am super excited to talk to Mary Mills today. She is with College Hunks. I am your interviewer, Catherine Lowell, with Painting with a Twist. Mary, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much. I feel so honored to be a part of this. It's fantastic.
Well, we are happy to have you. Mary and I met when we did a panel together, and I was just so impressed with her presence. As I shared with her when I asked her to be part of this podcast, I kind of used this as an excuse to get to know her and her career path better. And I'm super excited to start that out with her. And really with her, I wanted to start from the beginning. So Mary joined College Hunks within the last year, right?
It's been about a year and a half, but this has been an unusual year. So it feels some days like less than a year and some days like a decade.
Yeah, like 10. I was gonna say. And so with that, I kind of wanted to start from the beginning and talk to you a little bit about, you know, what things in your first job did you think that helped you throughout your career? So I'll start with an example. So my first job out of college, I worked at the front desk of a hotel. And for me, they drilled in customer service, right? And we had customer service scripts. And that really taught me how to put the guest first and put, you know, everything, say yes to everything. And that has really benefited me in not only my career, but also in training others to be nice. So I'm curious as to what skills, you know, in your first roles, are you still finding that you use today?
Well, I think that's an interesting question because it's actually fascinating to me how much I use those initial skills still today. My first job out of college was as a television news journalist. My major was actually in broadcast journalism. It wasn't in marketing, which is the career that I'm in now. But I'm going to tell you, I use those skills every single day. It taught me from a very young age to speak clearly, speak simply, write things clearly and simply. Always communicate in a way that's simple and easy to understand. I use that when I'm trying to convey sometimes very intricate marketing programs down to our franchisees. And I do that across all communication channels. So whether it's an email that needs to be simple and clear and attention grabbing right away, or it's a video or it's an ad or whatever it is, or even if it's just a clear conversation face to face. I mean, all of us in franchising have to have difficult conversations sometimes, either with franchisees or our peers or someone else. And I think just learning kind of fundamentally inside of myself at such a young age, learning how to have direct, clear conversations has served me well. Brené Brown, my favorite author, loves to talk about that in her book, Dare to Lead, where she says, unclear is unkind. And
that is so true.
Isn't that true? You know, yes. Like nobody wants to have the difficult conversation, right, Catherine? Like it's hard, but if you take a step back and really think about it, mm-hmm. being vague doesn't really serve the person you're communicating to very well.
It's almost worse.
It is worse. It's unkind. It's not giving them the clear, precise direction and information they need, whether or not it's something they want to hear. So that one I'll be honest and tell you, being direct and clear in uncomfortable conversations has taken me longer to master.
Yeah.
Much easier for me to write a clear email.
Right.
And to have those face-to-face conversations that are harder, it's something that I actually always have to work on. Mm-hmm. But I think because I can draw from some of that initial career knowledge, it does help me. you know, I was with College Hunks Hauling Junk and Moving only a few months when they said, oh, our brand conference is coming up. We want you to give an hour long speech. And I was like, okay, you know, and I'd given lots of speeches where I had been before. And I doubt if I would have had that confidence if I didn't have all of that original training about speaking and communicating and, you know, those some things are things you can learn and are taught. Mm-hmm. And then some things are things that are just kind of intuitive. Mm-hmm. And I think I've been communicating for so long that it's mostly intuitive for me. So it is interesting how that initial first job right out of college, it does kind of set a lot of your direction and your path in life, doesn't it?
And it sets a foundation, I find, you know, and a foundation for those skills. It's almost like those soft skills that you don't know you're going to need later. And then all of a sudden you're practicing them and you're like, oh, that's why I was there at that time.
Yes. You know, we can always look back and see the value in everything we've learned, right? Even if it was painful in the moment.
Painful in the moment. And then, you know, for me, I find I was a, you know, a typical, like, I've got to get to the top as fast as possible, like climb the ladder type of person. And so I applied for a lot of jobs, no matter what. And very early in my career, I would just keep applying to try and move up, which was possible in the hospitality industry, which is one of the great things about that industry. But I would constantly get rejected as well. And so I just understand at the time why I was getting that rejection and what that would lead to. And so when I look back on it, I'm like, oh, that's why, because I needed to follow this path to get to where I am today. So, you know, I always draw on that as well. And I know that for you, you know, your career, as you mentioned, started in that broadcast journalism piece. And it's been, it hasn't been a straight road, as you said, to where you're at today with College Hunks. And even, you know, I talk about sometimes the fact that within our industry, right, we have the subject matter of our industry, but we also have franchising as an industry. That was something that I wasn't necessarily exposed to until I had my first franchising experience. And I was like, oh, well, this isn't just about food and beverage. This is about, you know, there's two industries here. And for you, you kind of took that winding road here. And what I found interesting and, you know, almost beneficial to you in the franchising world is the fact that you owned your own business at one point. I'd love to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It has been a bit of a winding road, but as you said before, every experience we have makes up who we are now. And I would have never known when I made the decision to leave news. I had been a reporter and an anchor and an executive. I'd kind of gone through all of the ranks of local television news. And I left to start a nationwide television show that aired on a network and kind of owned the business that produced that show and then later became a production company and a marketing company. And, you know, the business changed a little over time. But when I made that decision, I never thought that having the experience of owning my own business would help me someday in some franchising career, right? But boy, I have to tell you, I so intuitively feel and understand when a franchisee calls me today and has that kind of quiver and shake in their voice, and you can tell they're scared, right? You can tell they are worried about putting their kids through school and getting a meal on the table. And they will have some of those moments sometimes, no matter how successful of a system they're in. Mm-hmm. Or how great of a franchisee they are. Things happen in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel what they feel. You know, I have been there. I've been the one that's scrapping and fighting for each job and each meal. And I think that helps me to be more relatable now to the franchisees. Mm-hmm. You know, my job might be the vice president of marketing, but I intuitively know, okay, I have to make this program so that it will work in all of these different areas and make all of these different franchisees successful, even though these areas are different. And, you know, a lot of times franchisees will say, but things are different where I am. And I know that. And I understand that. Right. I know how to scale things kind of intuitively because of that. And I'll tell you, I think it also helps me, you know, look, in franchising, we have a lot of bosses, right? You know, yes. We may have 130 franchisees who are all our bosses, but we also have our CEOs and our presidents and people like that who are our bosses. And mm-hmm. I think it helps me understand when I'm managing upward as well. So when something like when COVID happened, I could understand a little more how our owners felt, because mm-hmm. they're running this massive ship, this gigantic system, and now a world crisis is happening, mm-hmm. right? So same time, I could relate to their fear and their need to take control and to, you know, manage everything in a much more hands-on way than they might normally do. And at the same time, I could understand how each franchisee was feeling, mm-hmm. because COVID was striking in different areas at different times and in different waves, and they were all being affected differently. So mm-hmm. I think that business ownership part of me does just it honestly, in franchising, it's served me really well. I just understand a lot more. I think we all mentally think we can understand, but when you're the one going through it, it does feel a little different.
Yeah. So like you could relate to having to be the leader, keeping it all together, right? From the CEO
part, yeah.
And then the franchisee of no, I just need to make it through this month so that right. I can get it to the next month.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, you know, we own a small business in a restaurant locally. And so, you know, we started that restaurant right at the same time as I started my career in franchising. And so what I find that it brings out in me is the protective nature I have around what we're doing at the headquarters level. So, you know, it has to be something that they can do locally. It has to be, you know, when we're spending dollars, it has to go in the best way possible towards forwarding what the franchisees are doing in the field. And then watching, you know, my husband run the company, you know, one thing that I always take away is, okay, how is what I'm doing at the corporate level really going to get executed at the local level? And how is that buy-in going to happen? So I know that served me well as well. Have a taste of it, you know, to have a taste of what it's like to be the only one in charge of what you have done.
And that's a scary feeling, right? The franchisees, they as much as franchisors, we want to think we're providing all of this great support all the time. And we are, but they're off, you know, in some other state, in some other city, sitting alone in their office or their restaurant or whatever it is. And it can be an isolating feeling. So knowing that they have advocates back in that corporate office, mm-hmm. I think, you know, does certainly help a lot.
Yeah, for sure. So from going from your own business, you jumped into franchising, right? With the United
Brands
Group. And boy, I'm looking at what happened there, that is a baptism by fire if I've ever seen one.
Yes.
So you guys did a lot.
In the beginning, I started with just one brand. I started with Signorama in 2008. But if you guys, if you remember 2008, that was also a volatile time.
Yes.
Right? So yes. I'd only been there a couple of months when, you know, a lot of stuff started to change. And so then it was like, okay, you have Signorama and you have Embroid Me, and that was fine. And then it was like, okay, now you have Signorama and Embroid Me and Billboard Connection and Planet Head Events. And it just kind of over the years, sometimes stacked on.
Yeah.
But, you know, some would need more attention than others, you know? So what's unique about United Franchise Group is that it's one umbrella company that has a lot of different brands under it. Mm-hmm. And at various times, I was there over 10 years, and at various times I managed, you know, either as many as 9 brands at once, or sometimes focused on some of the brands and had coordinators and people under me, mostly really managing everything on a day-to-day basis. And then I was just there for strategy. But United Franchise Group really, it taught me a couple of key things. One of them was just, it really broadened my marketing knowledge because it had so many brands. So one, I might be in one meeting talking about tactics for a business to business brand. And then in the very next one, I'm in a business to consumer brand. And then the very next one, I'm working in a restaurant brand all in one day. So you had to.
That's neat. You know,
it was fascinating, right? Like, like you look back and think, gosh, how lucky was I, you know, that I got to learn. I had never done restaurant marketing until I was there. And we didn't originally, we started as mostly B2B brands. We ended up adding on two restaurants in the time I was there. And, you know, you have to learn, oh, wait, those PPC tactics that worked over here for this brand, that's not going to work to get people to buy sub sandwiches, you know? So you have to constantly be learning and readjusting your thought process. And
well, I also feel like in that time, that 2008 to 2018, that was a time of real change in marketing because you had the emergence of, I mean, social media, you know, I look back on social media and it changed. It's still changing so fast today, but from 2008 to 2018, it blew up. Digital advertising, and Google was just finding its footing with monetizing their product. So it was a period you were not only managing different types of industries, you were managing through one of probably the most pivotal moments in digital marketing as well.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I can remember being brand new and not knowing so much about digital. You know, again, I had come out of like a video production company environment. I knew video and messaging and branding and communication. I knew all that stuff. But, you know, balancing pay-per-click with organic search with social media, that was a new world for me. And it you know, thank God for YouTube tutorials and podcasts and all and email communications and newsletters. Thank God for those things because I really learned as the world was learning, you know, as those things were coming on and developing. We had a few really strong agency partners there who, you know, shared their knowledge with me. You know, I can't tell you how many times I would call my digital agency and say, I've got a question, you know, I don't want anybody to hear me, you know, but you have that, that's learning, right? Like that's, I think that's what we all go through in franchising. There are always new things and new tactics. I mean, the minute you're not growing, you're dying, right?
Right. Well, and I find too, as a marketing generalist, you know, you cannot be an expert in everything. And so then agency partners and the experts that you surround yourself with are so important. And then it's important for you to remind yourself, like, I'm not supposed to be the expert in everything. So it's okay to ask the question. It's okay to call up the agency and say, is this going to impact us? How is it going to impact us? Give me the talking points.
Right. Exactly. I mean, that is, it's easy to forget that. Intuitively, I want to be the expert on everything.
Yes.
But I also know, as you said, it's not realistic. This is why we hire other people, is because... Mm-hmm. They are the experts in those things. Having said that, I do feel like I need to keep staying on top of everything that I really know what questions to ask, if that makes sense. You have to know at least enough to challenge people and to be able to answer franchisee questions. And you have to know some things, but you also have to rely on those people.
So,
but United Franchise Group, in addition to teaching me about a lot of different brands, it did teach me franchising. And for any of those of anybody watching this who, you know, obviously everyone's in franchising, you remember when you got into it, it's fascinating the things you don't know and that you don't, there's not really a lot of places to learn those things, like those little tricks and those little strategies that help you to get buy-in for programs and teach you how to build relationships really matter. And, you know, United Franchise Group is the one that taught me, if you're going to do a regional meeting in an area, you go in the night before and you meet with any of the detractors separately and personally, and you let them get it all out and you address their concerns and you talk it through, so that when you're in that meeting with everyone else, you've already addressed the most difficult parts that there might be.
Yeah.
So something like that probably seems simple to everybody watching this, because you're in franchising, you all know that. But when you're new to it, you learn those things really as you go. And you learn them by making mistakes, honestly. You know, you go to one of those regional meetings that is tough and you never make that mistake again, right?
Right. And it's relationship management. And it's a lot management than you think. Because you think you're coming in as, okay, well, I'm the marketing guru, so I'm going to come in and, you know, whiz them with all of my marketing knowledge. And,
right.
You know, in reality, unless you're going to speak their language and you have to take time to learn their language, they're not going to, you know, they're not going to care about all the marketing whiz bang stuff that you're going to tell them. And I find that franchisees in particular are, not as impressible. they don't get
yes.
With like, you're like, wait, no, this is like really good stuff. And they just, you know, just not impressed. And so you do have to find different ways of speaking to them in a way that's relatable, so that you to get your message across. So I think franchise relations, and it's funny that you say, you know, you learned kind of how to get to the influencers, right, before the big group, because that is something that, you know, I think people come to franchising with their kind of silo of expertise, and it's in franchising that you really learn that franchise relations part.
And you know, boy, isn't that something we all use every single day? You know, I know now I have a handful of franchisees who I have a great relationship with. I can call them anytime. I can get their opinion on things. You know, you learn what to include them on. You learn that they can actually be your advocates out helping to sell programs and to get buy-in from the rest of the system. It's a very political business that we're in, isn't it? Politics, franchising.
Yes. I often think about that.
Yes.
Well, and speaking of politics, you know, you, as you mentioned, joined College Hunks a year and a half ago, and you had been with United Franchise Group for 10 years. So, you know, I know that for me in my current role at Painting with a Twist, I was so lucky to have joined an executive team that all kind of happened, you know, we joined around the same time. So we were able to really grow our rapport and grow our working relationship as one unit. So I can only imagine when somebody new joins, what that's going to be like for them. what has your experience been like assimilating into a new leadership role, you know, you just had everything, you know, coming at you from joining 6 months before a pandemic hit to joining what is really a family run business. Right. And so I'm curious as to kind of how, and I think our listeners would be interested in, anytime you join a new team, how do you assimilate quickly in order to have impact as quickly as you want to?
Wow. That's really a good question. Like, I don't know that I have, like, you know, here's the five steps to how to assimilate. I think it just, again, I just jumped, you know. I had been where I was for over 10 years. I was very comfortable there. Even though there were new brands and lots of changes, it was still ultimately the same CEO, you know, the same way of running a company. College Hunks, Holly and Junk and Moving could not have been a more different environment. I mean, it is very focused on a fun, enthusiastic culture. It's a much more playful brand. The leadership is young and excited. It's just, you know, very, very, very different. A few things that I think helped me that the listeners might want to consider when they're jumping into a new role. One was, I had a lot of conversations with a lot of people very early on. That was a strong part of my strategy. I actually interviewed, in addition to interviewing with you know, the executives at College Hunks, I actually interviewed with a couple of franchisees, and they bought into the hiring of me, which ended up being really great when I was actually there, because people support what they helped to create, right? Mm-hmm. So now I already had a couple of advocates before I ever even started. So that was brilliant. And I can't take the credit for that. They did that for me in the interview process. But I literally went through the list of franchisees in the beginning and just started calling them. I looked through our previous franchisee satisfaction surveys to clearly identify what their concerns were so that I could get some quick wins. I knew I had to show the franchisees that I was there to meet their needs and that I was listening to the problems and I had solutions to the problems. So that's what I was kind of doing at the franchisee level. But as we've talked about with franchising, there's more than that, right? So I also had my peers and I had the executives above me. One thing that ended up really helping me, I didn't realize at the time it would, but when I first came to the office again for interviews, I had asked each person I interviewed with what success would look like for them in this role. You know, like, what could I do that you would see as successful? And I wrote those things down. I had like a little book with me and I wrote those things down. And I've actually gone back and looked at that several times, and it has kind of kept me focused and kept me on track. Several people had told me, for example, just taking feedback, just, you know, like if you can just listen to what we're telling you and do what we're telling you, that would be a huge win. That's not what we've necessarily had. And I love feedback. So for me, I'm like, sure, I'll take feedback. You're going to tell me what success looks like? I'll do it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So I think refreshing that and going back and looking at it has kind of reminded me from time to time, oh, this is what they want and what they need. Now, to your point, the executive team around me was a very tight-knit group when I arrived. And I can remember having a couple of moments where I was like, you know, they have their inside jokes and their inside stories, and they've all been to all the franchise locations. And I'd be in a meeting and go, which location is that again? Or which franchisee is that? Like, I was trying to remember everything that they knew so much. I think, honestly, I can't take any credit for assimilating with them. I think it was them. I think they embraced me.
Yeah.
They made it easy. They gave me a safe space to ask questions. I can remember being in a couple of meetings saying, well, you don't want my opinion on that because I'm new and I don't really know anything. And they were like, oh, no. We do want your opinion on that. We hired you for your opinion. Tell us your opinion. So they would almost force me to participate, you know, a little bit in the beginning. And that took me a little while because they were so tight. They already knew so much and knew the franchisees so well. But once they showed me a few times that I could disagree with them and it would be okay, or I could throw out a new idea and it would be okay, that really helped me to bond with them. And, you know, now they probably think they've like unleashed a monster. They're probably like, could she just go back and be quiet? Because now I'm not afraid to say anything.
Right. But that is great. And that really goes back to the culture that you talked about your owners creating, right? They've not only created a culture of fun and enthusiasm, they've created a culture of trust and not being scared to lead. And when you have new ideas, especially in a new group, you don't know if somebody's already thought about that because it's the most obvious thing in the whole wide world and you're going to sound like an idiot.
Exactly.
Awesome to hear that they've provided that safe space. I think that's something that I want to try and work on for me is how do you create that safe space so that you can have constructive conversations? I find that I'm always trying to rush through the conversations to get to the end so that we can then execute. I think I've recently read a couple of articles around how to create that safe space. And it sounds like you guys have done that through your culture. So that's really interesting to hear.
Yeah, I think the trust component is really, you've chosen exactly the right word to describe that. And, you know, trust is something that's earned and built over time. You can't just, lots of environments say, oh, we have a great culture and you can trust us, but it's not necessarily there. It is there with this brand. The trust factor is very, very, very strong, which has made it all much easier for me.
Yeah. So one thing that you mentioned to follow back up on was the fact that in franchising, you have a lot of bosses. And I think that when you, you know, at any level in franchising, you have a lot of bosses, because at the end of the day, if you have, the franchisees have to be successful. And, you know, all of your effort is going into making the franchisees successful. So any feedback you get from them is so valuable. So, you know, in a sense, they're your bosses, because you have to get that feedback and you have to get that buy-in. And then on the flip side, like you said, you have your peers. And especially at, you know, the executive level, where you're not directing, you're still trying to get that buy-in from your peers for any project you move forward. And then above that, you have your CEOs. So I'm curious, and I always, you know, am interested in hearing how other people manage up, and as well as kind of manage peers, and then that kind of third wheel of managing franchise expectations. And, you know, I know you learned a lot at United Franchise Group around franchise relations, but how do you kind of make sure you're managing all of those groups at the same time?
Yeah, I actually find that to be the biggest challenge for me in my role, is making all of these different stakeholders and groups of people happy at the same time. Because typically what franchisees want, look, everybody wants success, right? Mm-hmm. At the big picture, that's what everyone wants. Mm-hmm. But franchisees typically have a different perception of how success is measured than sometimes people in the corporate office, right?
True. Right.
It does help me that it's kind of always been that way for me. When I was in news, think of all the bosses I had, every viewer who was watching, who had an opinion about my hairstyle that day, right? There are all my bosses, plus my actual bosses who were telling, you know, what I needed to do. When I own my own business, you know, we like to say, you know, go into business for yourself, you don't have a boss anymore. That's not true. Every client you have is your boss. So I had it then. I had, you know, you have advertisers, you have so many different stakeholders. And as you said, that's certainly true in franchising. What happens in marketing, specifically in franchising, is that because we all experience marketing in our daily lives, we all tend to think we know and understand it and we can have an opinion on it. I liken it to going to restaurants. Because we all eat out in restaurants, right, we think we know one and run one, right? When ask any restaurant owner, as you know, Catherine, it's not that easy. There's a lot of things besides just cooking and serving food. There's managing people and your finances and all of that stuff. So it's not, I find marketing and franchising is not as black and white as most people think it would be. There's a lot of gray area, even at this time where, you know, we're very data driven. We look at the metrics, we look at the KPIs. So you would think there's not a lot of room left for opinion, but there really is.
Yeah.
So you really have to, what I find works for me is just listening to every idea, you know, like at least hear it, acknowledge it, acknowledge the person who cares enough and has enough passion to give you the idea. Because by the way, a lot of those ideas turn out to be really great ideas. And if for some reason it's not as great or it doesn't work in our system or something, I'm at least building trust by taking the time to listen.
Right.
And again, that's whether it's somebody above me or below me, because my franchisees have lots of ideas. My CEO has lots of ideas. So I have to listen to all of them. And then part of our role as franchise executives is to take all of that in and then figure out I've heard that, but now what's the best thing to do? Because that's where we were hired, for our expertise to be able to cut through that and adapt to what makes sense and don't adapt to what doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That to me is one of the, I agree with you. It's the hardest part of any job is managing up and then sideways.
Exactly.
Make everybody happy.
Yeah.
It's kind of
yeah.
like a work-life balance, which is a complete myth, where it's like, how am I good at all of the things I need to be good at in life?
It occurred to me really early on with College Hunks that there were, I was always working within three distinct buckets of work. I had what the franchisees wanted, what they were telling me in that franchisee satisfaction survey I mentioned, what my advisory council was telling me. And I always had to make them happy because success, because profitability, because I got their feedback. When I arrived at the brand, one of our big goals was to get our franchisee satisfaction survey for marketing to be over an 8. It had been years since it had gotten over an 8. Well, in this last quarter, was it an 8.7, by the way?
That's awesome. Good job.
It's like inched up
every
quarter. So that's an important thing for us, is that the franchisees think we're doing a good job. So I had to do things that were important to them. But as we talked about, there were also things that my CEO and president and the visionaries and the executives above me thought were important. And I certainly can't ignore those things. Those guys signed my paycheck, right?
Right, right.
And then thirdly, there were the things that I knew needed to happen, whether anybody was asking for it or not, right? The things that I knew, whether I did it quietly in the background with no fanfare, a lot of the things I did were like that. Like right now, if you went out and asked people, they probably wouldn't even know I did it. They just know it's suddenly there.
And then not even know that thing that you did that nobody knows about really is propelling the biggest momentum
that
as a brand.
Yeah. So I think you have to have a certain amount of confidence in your skills to be able to do that. You have to not necessarily need the validation of people around.
You have to have the humility. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it has to be like, okay, I know I have this deadline with the franchisees and this deadline with the executive team, but at the same time, I'm also going to be working on these things over here. And you have to, in the end, you build trust just by getting results. So you have to keep getting results for everybody at the same time.
Right.
That's the challenge. Job. That's the fun.
That's right. That's what makes it fun. Well, Mary, I wanted to end on a question that we actually had during our panel that I thought was just a great question. And it was, if you could tell your younger self one thing, looking back and seeing your career, what would it be?
Yeah, I don't remember how I answered that last time, so I'll just tell you what I mean. I would tell myself to relax, take a breath, and just own what you know and have confidence in what you know. And don't be afraid to ask about the things you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I look back, gosh, all the stress I've had in my career and in my life that was just needless, in hindsight, right?
Yes.
Like things that I've lost sleep over. I have lost sleep over. I'm a person who loses sleep over things. I can't tell you how many nights sleep I've lost. Because I care deeply about the franchisees and I care that they have buy-in. I care that they're successful. But now I look back on it and I'm like, of course that was going to work. Why did you sleep over that?
The big picture
was that so important? So, I would say just, that old don't sweat the small stuff and it's all small stuff, focus where you need to focus. Your gut tells you, if you listen to yourself, if you have the knowledge for your job, which, you should because you were hired for that job.
Right.
You're not going to know everything on day one. So don't be afraid to ask what you don't know, but also don't be afraid to trust what you do know is right and fight for what you know is right and stand firm for what you know is right. So
good advice. That's good.
There are a lot of people who would love to tell you that you're wrong.
Right. Yeah. You guys stick to your guns. No, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, Mary, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity. Like I said at the beginning, to use this as an excuse to get to know you and your career a little bit more. You know, you certainly are making some great strides at College Hunks. And I'm super excited to kind of take what you have learned in your career and apply it to my own, as I am facing some challenges that are very similar. So thank you so much. Very much.
Well, by the way, Catherine, that's the great thing about franchising is the community of great people that you meet who can help and mentor along the way. There are a lot of people who've done that for me, and I know I'm grateful. So I'm happy to do it for others.
Good. Good. Well, yes. Perfect. Well, then you're a perfect fit for our podcast. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to our Women's Success podcast today. We appreciate everyone's time, and we'll talk to you again soon.